Okay, I'm coming. It's always encouraging. Come on. Is it that I'm getting older and that, you know, you have to say, come on, you can make it run, or is it? Amen. I do want to say thank you for those of you that prayed for me. I had some kind of bug this past week, and wonderful stuff, you know, all those achy pains and sore throats and that good stuff. So really appreciate that, because I believe God answered your prayer and brought me through that. Amen. Also, I want to make a quick announcement to remind all of our leaders today, that's leaders of small groups, but leaders of all kinds throughout the church, that we have our leaders meeting today after church from 12 o'clock to 1:30, and hopefully you have responded to that already and will remember, and lunch will be provided for you. 12 o'clock to... Okay. Nope, that's okay. All right. Okay, just wanted to give that reminder. All right. Today, of course, I'm excited. We're getting close to Jonathan and Charlie's wedding. I can't wait to have my newest daughter, and I'm so excited about their wedding that's taking place at the end of this month. Pray, because it looks like it's an outdoor wedding all the way through. The ceremony and the reception has got a little tent there, and it's looking like it's going to be really hot. So ask the Lord, who controls the elements, to put on the air conditioning outside. That would be really, really great. But otherwise, we're going to have a great time, and they're going to be married at the end of the day. Amen. But I want to give you the title of the message this morning, and it's definitely something I've gone through a lot, but it's I hope that it'll really be encouraging to you. But the title is simply, Don't Tire in the Fire. All right? Don't tire in the fire. Now, I want to give you today a little bit more than, shall we say, information. I think we all want some transformation, amen? We just don't want to hear some things, but we want God's word to powerfully change us, to transform us. And that's what I hope to bring your way. Can I ask you a question? Do you believe that the Holy Spirit of God can change you? Do you really believe that the Holy Spirit can change your heart, your life, your perspective? And if you do, well, we have not because we ask not, right? So let's go ahead and ask the Holy Spirit right now, all right, as we get ready to share God's word. Father in heaven, Holy Spirit, we ask you to be present right now, for you to speak to us, for your word to change us, and for your power to make us more like Christ than we have been so far. We pray that you will give us insight. We pray that you will give us strength. We pray that you will give us perspective. And we pray that your power will be what changes us. We need you. We love you. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. In Psalm 139, in verse 16, the Bible says that all of your days are ordained for me, were written in the book before any of them came to be. God is saying, I've got your life. I know what's going on. Now, you and I, when it comes to our life, we're limited in this body. We can say what happened, you know, yesterday. We can say what's happened so far today, but we can't tell you what's going to happen tomorrow. But here's the thing. God knows yesterday, God knows today, and God knows what's going to happen tomorrow. And so he's got our life in his hands. The Bible says in Job 14, verse 5, that all of our days have already been decreed. The number of months that we're going to live have been decreed. God's got it all set up for us. That can be sobering. I hope that is going to be very encouraging to all of you. Now, as we live our lives, we all have plans, and we all, I believe, had dreams or have dreams. And God wants those dreams to be fulfilled. I'm going to tell you today, let me give you the 3 points that I want to share with you for this message, is that God gives you, number one, a revelation. Number two, God will then give you an examination. And number three, God will then lead you to your destination and transformation. But he's going to start out by giving you a revelation. He's going to start out by giving you a glimpse, by giving you a dream, by giving you a vision, and giving you, I'm sure, lots of encouragement. But he says in his word, in Hebrews 11, verse 6, it says, the Bible says, "And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because anyone that comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." So what is God telling us there? He says, he's not saying that it's hard to please God without faith. He's not saying it'll be a challenge to please God without faith. What he is saying, it's impossible to please God without faith. He says, and then anyone who comes to him, that phrase in Greek actually means anybody that comes to worship him must believe that he exists and that he'll reward those who earnestly seek him, who really go after it. So what God is saying is, I need, though, for you to have this faith in order to please me. That faith, as we know in God's word, the Bible defines faith in Hebrews 11, 1. It says what? Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we don't see. Okay? So, wow. God is saying, I need you to be sure of what we hope for, who we hope in. He says, you got to believe that he exists. You got to know that God is there. And that you got to know that he's going to reward you. In fact, it's even more than that God will give you a reward. God is saying, I am your reward. And that's a lesson I think that he's been sharing with me here for quite a while. That God has shown me that I need to make sure I keep discipling you and revealing your heart and showing how you can trust me more and how your heart can be pure. You know, when I think about dreams or having faith in God, I think about early on for a number of years in my life and in the ministry that I just said, you know what? I don't have the talent that maybe someone else has. I don't have the gifts that maybe somebody else has. But when I read Hebrews 11, 6, I said, I'm going to make that. That is my theme verse. That is my power verse. I'm going to go after pleasing God and have a faith that would really please him. I'm going to believe in him no matter what. And I'm going to seek my rewarder and not the rewards. You see, because God says in Hebrews 11, he'll reward those who earnestly seek him. And you remember the story of Abram, the father of faith of the Jews. When God spoke to Abram, he said to him, I am your shield. In Genesis 15, 1, he says, but I am your great reward. I am. God is. And so I remember deciding, God, I just want to be your friend. I just want to seek you. I want to know you. And I want to show this faith, this trust, no matter what I go through in life, that I'm going to trust you. And I'm going to obey you. And that way I know I'll please you. And God will give me himself as my reward. And so, you know, it was interesting because I look back and I think about, wow, I was seeking God and making special time just to be with God sacrificially, regularly. And that I just wanted to know him. And now I had dreams and all kinds of things were happening. I remember seeing God work incredible miracles. I remember when I first became a disciple. Yes, it was a long time ago, okay? But I remember, you know, seeing so many of my friends become disciples, become Christians, and go on to serve God. So many that when I was in college that were getting baptized. I remember going in the ministry and seeing God build up a campus ministry when I was working at Ohio State, and seeing over 100 students be in our campus ministry, about 130 if I remember right. And just all these kids coming to, students, not kids, right? Yeah, all these students coming to Christ, you know, and serving God and going on to serve him in many different ways. I remember leading a campus ministry in Boston, and I remember, I'm going to seek God. I'm going to trust him no matter what. And I told this little group of 30 students, I said, no, God is going to use you in some special way. Hang on to the dream. Let's love him. Let's obey him. Let's trust him no matter what comes at us. And I said, guess what? How many students have become Christians in the last 6 months? And they said, 3. And I said, okay, that's awesome, those 3. I go, in the next 12 months, God's going to give you 100 students that are going to become disciples. They all looked at me like I had drank something that I shouldn't have. But they said, okay, you know, I said, no, just trust God. Just love him. Just love him and trust him no matter what comes your way, and give your love away. Let's see what God does. Well, I didn't get to stay there a whole year because God then called me to go to South Africa. And after about 10 months, 82 students had already been won to Christ, you know, in that ministry. And I was like, this is incredible. And then I went to South Africa, and I remember just praying, and God, I'm going to love you, I'm going to trust you no matter what, and then I just want to obey you, you know, and that's what I really, really just want to do, just obey you. And then I saw God work incredible ways as churches were planted all over South Africa, in Cape Town, South Africa, in the actual home village of Nelson Mandela. We planted a church in Umtata Transkei, where that church is thriving today. And so many people were being won to Christ. We saw this little group of people, about 100 folks that were meeting there. About 70 of them were disciples, and we saw God bless that to over 1,000 or 1,100 people in just 3 years, churches being planted. And then the greatest dream, as I've told you, you know, God gave me the birth of my 2 sons, Jonathan and Joshua, and then just 17 days later, God took my son's life. He called him home. And that was like, again, the ultimate valley, you know, in my life. But I remember telling God, I trust you. And as deeply as this hurts, I love you, and I know you always do what's best for us. I believe that. You always work for the good, does not the Bible say? In Romans 8, 28, no matter what you go through for those who love him. And then he says, I will continue to work on you to conform you to be more like Christ, those that I've called. And so I believe that. Do you know that after that time when I was mourning just grieving the loss of my son and then rejoicing in the birth of my other son, and I saw God in the next 130 days win 130 people to Christ in the church because we trusted God. And then I got called to go to Chicago. And I remember that. Wow, it was so exciting. And okay, all right, God, I'm going to trust you. I mean, I'm hurting, but I'm just going to seek you, trust you, and see what you do. And you know that in a 2-year period, God baptized 1,000 people a year in the church in Chicago. 1,000 people a year. 3 people every day were becoming disciples. I was shocked. And then God called me to Los Angeles and then to Charlotte, where I've seen lots and lots of people still become Christians. But then I've also experienced a lot of tough times. And I think in some of those tough times, God was showing me, Ron, you're now beginning to change your heart, your focus a little bit, and now your joy is more dependent, I believe, on results rather than me. And he was trying to work that out, and he's still trying to work that out in me. You know, he's still showing me that. And I'm learning that I'm learning that when it feels like God is doing something in your life, okay, this is, you ready for this? This is deep. When God is doing something in your life, he's doing something. God is a purposeful God. God is a deliberate God. God is very intentional about what he's doing in your life. He knows yesterday, he knows today, and he already knows tomorrow. So he knows what's going to happen. And he is working in a deliberate fashion in your life to conform you to be more like Jesus. To bless your life because he knows you love him. And to lead you, you know, to your destination where he wants to take you in your life. He's leading you in all those ways. And he's very deliberate about it. Now, he's not only doing something, here's the catch. When you feel like he's doing something, God is doing something when you feel like he's not doing anything. He's intentional. He's working on you. He's bringing you to a fulfillment of your dream. You know, in Genesis 37, it seems like that's what the singles conference was on. Let's at least read there. Let's read about a man, at least then we'll just summarize his story, one that you know, because I believe God gave him a revelation, then put him through the examination, and then through transformation led him to his destination. And that's what God is doing with you. In Genesis 37, the Bible says this. Remember the story of Joseph? All right, well, we'll just read the first 7 verses and summarize all the rest of the story. The Bible says in Genesis 37, verse 1, Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. This is the account of Jacob. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And he brought their father a bad report about them. Make a little note of that one, all right? Now, Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons. Probably not a good thing, right? All right, because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made a richly ornamented robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright. while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it." He also had another dream, and he informed all of them, just want to let you know, had another dream where the sun and the moon and all 11 stars were bowing down to me as well, all right? Joseph, as if you know anything about his life, really shows us, you know, about having a revelation in how to pass your examination, okay, to lead to your destination. But Joseph obviously had some things that had to be worked on as well in his life. Joseph was somebody that I guess we could say a tattletale. He goes to his dad and just brings a bad report about his brothers. That ain't good. Okay? He's a snitch. All right? I'm just saying it. All right? This is Joseph. Joseph also has a little ego problem. Okay, God's going to give you a dream. You have a dream for your life. Okay, then you go, and I'm just going to tell everybody, you know, in a kind of a smart way. Just want to let you guys know, you all are going to be bowing down to me. Okay? Your sheaves of grain bow down to mine. So he's a little bit of a braggart, and he talks down. So there's some things that had to be worked out in Joseph if you ever thought he was perfect. Okay, God still had some discipling to do to help him to become more like Christ. Well, we know what happens. His brothers are filled with so much hatred that they go ahead and sell him into slavery. They decide at first they want to kill him. Then they say, oh no, let's make a little money and let's prolong his life and put him into slavery. That would be a great way to punish him. Joseph's got to be thinking, hey, I've got this dream. I'm going to hang in there, just like you and I, right? I've got a dream. And we all have had dreams in our life. And then some things start happening that we didn't plan on. Things aren't going our way. There's some defeats. There's some discouragements. There's just different things that are happening in our life that are sending different messages to us. But I got to believe that when David was sold, or Joseph was sold into slavery, and then he's brought to this house, this captain of the guard of the king of Egypt, and he actually gets to be in charge of the house as a slave. I got to believe that after a few months, he's got to be thinking, God's going to rescue me any moment. My dream's coming true because God gave me that dream, and I know it's going to happen, and this is the way it's going to happen. But then a few months go by, 6 months go by, a year goes by, then actually about 10 years go by. But he says, I'm still going to trust God. I'm still going to make him my reward. I'm still going to obey him. But it's not just for a few months. It's not just for a year. It's now 10 years. And then you know what happens? The wife of the captain of the guard's house, she gets the hots for Joseph. She's like, wow. Well, the Bible even says Joseph, okay, was a young man, and he was handsome, and he was well-built. Okay? So, I won't say who that's like in the congregation. All right? David Knight raised his hand. All right, okay. CJ, you keep thinking that. All right, you just believe David's young, handsome, and well built. Amen. Okay. But she comes after him day after day. Now remember, he's a slave. He's single. He's a sharp dude. Okay? He's good looking. And he's like, where am I going? It's been 10 years and my dream isn't being fulfilled. I've faced all these difficulties along the way. No, I'm going to obey God. I'm going to trust God. And I'm going to be righteous. And I'm going to be pure. And so he rejects all of her advances. Where does that get him? She lies about him. And says that he came after her, and he gets thrown in a dungeon. So now you got to be going, okay, now Joseph gives up. No, he keeps trusting God as his reward. He hangs in there. Things have happened to you in your life. Like I said, you didn't plan those. There have been some defeats in your life. There have been some discouragements in your life. Continue to believe that God is there. Continue to seek the rewarder and obey Him and give Him glory and see what God's going to do. Joseph keeps doing it. But now he's in the dungeon for 2 years. And the king has now thrown his butler and his baker. Okay? A cupbearer and a baker has thrown them into the dungeon. And after 2 years or so, they have a dream. They both have dreams. Joseph is still so into, I'm going to trust God and still give to God and still give to people and still serve. He is in the dungeon now and he looks and he sees these guys and he goes, hey, how come the long face? Because they had a sad face. He gives to them. And they go, well, we had these dreams. Well, he tells them the fulfillment of the dreams. One of them, he says, you're going to have your head lifted up. You're going to go back before the king. The other one, he says, you're going to have your head lifted off. Okay, I mean, you're going to be hung in 3 days. And so he tells the one guy that's going to be restored back to the king, and he tells him his dream. He says, will you just do me one favor? I've been put in here, and I don't deserve this. Could you just let the king know and so, you know, put in a good word so I can get out of here? And the guy's like, sure, sure. He helps him out. He gets before the king, and he forgets about Joseph for a couple more years. And Joseph is still going to obey God. He's still going to seek him. It's not about all the sheaves bowing down to him. It's not about all the results. It's about, I am going to love God. I'm going to still seek him. He's going to be my reward. And I'm going to watch God change me and work out my destination. And so he does that. He hangs in there. And as we know, finally, after 2 years, the guy that was restored says, oh, yeah. Because the king had a dream and the king needed it interpreted. The guy goes, oh, yeah, I remember a guy that could help, you know. And this guy told me about my dream, and that was Joseph. And so Joseph comes, tells the king the dream, and then he is made the number two man in Egypt. For at that time, he becomes the second most powerful man in the world. He interprets the king's dream. He tells him that, you know, there's going to be 7 years of blessing and then 7 years of famine. So you should plan to take care of the people and put things away. And so the king says, you're the man. I put you in charge. Nobody's more powerful in the kingdom. Only me than you. And Joseph's dream is fulfilled some 19 or almost 20 years later. It may take a while. You know, God's word says in 1 Peter 1:6 that your faith is being tested like gold in the fire. But and for a little while right now, you might suffer some grief and all kinds of trials. I like the way the Lord says, just for a little while. Just for a little while. What's a little while to the Lord? Well, 2 Peter 3 says that to God, a day is like what? 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. Okay, so, what would, you know, 24 hours be like if a day is like 1,000 years? Well, you know, it's probably like about 41 years, okay? So maybe a half an hour would be about 20 or 21 years, okay? That would be a little while to God. Probably not. That was just figuring out some numbers there. But God has a different plan and a different thought. But he's like, I want you. Will you want me? Brothers and sisters, will you go after seeking God as your great reward, obeying him and letting him put you through the examination or the test to see if you will fulfill your destination in the long run? Because when God, it feels like he's doing something, he's doing something. But when it feels like he's doing nothing, he's doing something. God is directly involved in your life. He is right there. And if we can just hold on to that. Oh gosh, we're coming to the end here. You know me. I always have too much. Let's at least read this. Let's go to Job 23. Job 23. Okay, I'll keep coming. In Job 23, the Bible says this. We'll begin reading in verse 8. Job felt some of this as well. I think all of God's men and women were put through a revelation, that's the good part, a dream, then the examination. And it says here, he says in verse 8, but if I go to the east, he's not there. And if I go to the west, I don't find him. When he is at work in the north, I don't see him. When he turns to the south, I catch no glimpse of him. But he knows the way I take. You see, Job is going to say, I'm going to trust. God is there. He knows my ways. He knows my days. But he knows the way that I take. And when he has tested me, I will come forth as gold. My feet have closely followed his steps. I have kept to his way without turning aside. I have not departed from the commands of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread. Job says, you know, when it seems like God isn't doing anything, he came to realize God is doing something. Because when I looked and I didn't see what I thought was going to happen, and I didn't, you know, look at the plans and everything and say, that's how I would have done it. But then I trusted God. I knew that he was there. I knew that he would be there for me. And I hung on to his words more than my daily food. Wow, brothers and sisters, how would you do? How would you fare? You know, if you ate one meal a week on Sunday, if that's the only meal you had all week, you just ate, you know, you had a breakfast, how would you do? You know, it's kind of interesting. Our body, when it's hungry, right, it screams, it starts talking, it starts mumbling and grumbling, and then it starts talking a little louder, and then it starts screaming, feed me. But when our spirits aren't fed, they don't scream. Our spirit gets quiet and gets quieter, and it gets easier to go without it. Your spiritual food, right? Job says, I tell you what, I didn't always see God here or there, but I knew he was there. I trusted him because I treasured the word more than my daily food. He says, I made sure that I let God's word direct me and guide me. Brothers and sisters, we're going to win. Yeah. You've got a revelation, don't you give up on it. You got a dream, you hang on to it. You've got a vision and plans, hang on to it. And God's going to put you through the examination, but he will bring you to your destination with great transformation in your life. And like Joseph, when he was telling his brothers at the end of the story, after daddy died, and Joseph had rescued his family and had taken care of them for years, and they couldn't believe that Joseph had forgiven them for what they had done to him. They got nervous. And after their dad died, they said, oh, he's going to deal with us now. And so they sent a messenger to Joseph. And they said, tell Joseph that our dad said, these guys are really mess ups. I mean, they were really stupid for doing what they did to you, Joseph. But will you just forgive them? Just make sure you forgive them. When Joseph got that message, he wept. His heart So many people won't realize their revelation, their dream. So many people aren't going to pass their examination and will never reach their destination because they can't forgive. Because they hold on to a grudge. Whether it's somebody in the family, somebody out there in life, a relationship, a friendship, maybe it's God that they've been struggling to forgive. Maybe, for some of us, it's even yourself that you're struggling to forgive. Joseph wept. And the brothers came before him, and they threw themselves at his feet and says, "We're your slaves. We're your slaves." And Joseph said, this is where he hung on to the word, because he knew that he was never going to hold a grudge. He knew in order for God to forgive him, the tattletale, the braggart, the looking down, and his other sins, I must forgive. I must forgive. You know, he knew that. And he says, am I God? Am I in the place of God? No. He says, I'm not. You have nothing to be afraid. Now let me tell you, you guys, you meant to do me bad. Okay? You meant to harm me. It's not that I don't see that. But God, who knows all my days, and God, who's in control, he intended it for good. And that's where I focus. I focus that God is using those things in my life to bring me to my destination and to bring the transformation I need in my life. God is doing that with you. Trust him. Hang on. And let's glorify God. As Joseph said, he meant it for good. What was the good? The saving of many lives. You will be saved, amen. And those that you demonstrate God's love and God's trust and God's heart to will also be saved. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Amen.